Digest Radio.
So, stirring up it is something I like to do from time to time, but I also like to know that I can come back to these little things we have in common, little universal moments that we share separately, the things that make us the same. They're so small we hardly ever talk about them. Do you ever look at your watch and then you don't know what time it is? And you have to look again, and you still don't know the time. So you look a third time, and somebody says, what time is it? You say, I don't know.
Strategist Radio.
Raw and real. No crap. No fluff. No hype. Just pure strategic pleasure from his playbook to yours. Love, affection, and looking out for you. Live from the Trinity WebWorks Business Radio Studios on the Trinity Broadcast Network. The Strategist Radio Live with your Italian ace in the hole, TJ Marino.
Second stage tanks now pressurized. 35 seconds and counting.
100% target velocity.
Steve, picking up tremendous EMI levels around the machine. All field measurements are pegged off scale high.
So we're approaching our abort limits.
I hear her. Barely, but she's there. She says she's okay to go.
Driving your business sales to the next level. Delivering the gift that keeps on giving. The Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino.
All right, we are now officially in spring 2015, 16, 17. I don't even know what day it is. I've been so drugged up all week with this stupid back outage. But you know what? I'm here for you this morning, and I feel fabulous. long as I don't stand up, bend over, attempt to walk. I don't know what I did to my back, but anyway, I'm here. You're here. So we might as well talk strategy, right? Okay. So today we're going to talk about the marketing strategy, 10 smart ways to better know your target audience. Believe it or not, you'd be surprised as to how many companies are absolutely without a clue. Talk about that on today's program, how you can become more clueful. And we'll talk about some myths. We'll talk about web design myths, right? As I get a lot of questions here at the firm, every single week, about should I do this to my website? Should I do that to my website? Will you look at my website? Tell me what's right or wrong with it. Five myths. We'll talk about that today on the program. We'll also talk about how to determine the right price for your product or service. And when you do a live event, don't you want to make the most of it? Well, Scott Richardson's got some really cool inside tips for you. He's the CEO of TicketMob. That and so much more on this edition of Strategist Radio Live for your Monday. Welcome to the 21st of March. Yeah, so I was debating whether I was going to even come in and do the program this morning, but you know what? I got to be here because the last week I worked like 2 days. I mean, I worked from home, you know, from the vertical position, right? So I'm horizontal and vertical, and once I'm standing, I'm good. When I'm laying down, I'm good. If I'm sitting, I'm fine. But it's moving and changing from these different positions. And I don't know what it is, my lower back thing. So I'm on my ibuprofen today. So I feel fabulous, a little bit edgy. But you know what? That's how I work. That's how I roll. That's how we do it, right? Still got clients, got to come in, and I got to work. Got a crew to feed. Got clients to make happy, right? So we'll talk about smart ways to really understand your target audience. Because if you don't understand your target audience, how in the world can you effectively communicate with your suspects, prospects, and even your BBACs, right? Okay. Talk about that in a few minutes. But first, I want to just kind of focus a little bit on web design. Got a lot to cover in today's program. Some of the myths. For example, you've seen these websites more than not. It's not just me, right? You go to a website, and God, if this is your website, make some changes there. In other words, if it's just convoluted, there's words everywhere, colors, every color of the rainbow, navigation is just horrific. The myth is white space on a page should be filled in with something. And that's crap. No. The opposite is true. I talked about this last week. Open space is an excellent way to separate content. You know, when you walk into Nordy's, walk into Nordstrom's, I don't know, walk into Walmart, just walk into any retail outlet, especially some, you know, some of the big retailers, even the grocery stores, everything is put in its place. And they really are controlling what you see and where it is from the moment you enter the establishment. You feel me? So when people hit your web property, don't confuse them by just having just a myriad of crap all over the place. Too much, less is more. You want to use white space, even in your emails. That's why even in my emails, you'll notice I always do line breaks at 60 to 65 characters. I don't let my email run across the page. It's too hard on the eyes, especially on a mobile device or a smartphone. It's easier to read when you wrap the text at about 60 to 65 characters. Keep your paragraphs short, small, maybe a sentence or two as a paragraph. If you write long paragraphs, you're going to put people to sleep. It's very difficult to read. And people are going to bail out. We call it a bounce rate. And you don't want a high bounce rate, especially if people are finding your web property through search engines like Google or Bing, right? You want them sticking around for a few minutes. So use that white space. Homepage matters most, and that is a huge myth. Now, unless you are telling somebody specifically, here's my business card, go to www.mywebsitepagehomepage.com, they're probably going to come to your web property in a variety of ways. They could be doing a Google search, they're on Bing, and they're looking for some information, and there's a blog post article that's on your web property. Maybe it's a video, could be an audio track. They're going to go directly to that page, and they may never, ever see your homepage. So unless one's going directly to the website, current or prospective customers will probably never land on your site's homepage. So putting all the design focus on the homepage is really counterproductive. You want to have a consistent design throughout your website, and that's far more of an effective strategy. The next myth, more features means better designs. That's nonsense. First of all, if you're using a WordPress, let's say you're using a WordPress core, the more plugins you use, the more likely you are to have somebody bust into your server to break your website or to go in and hammer you. Because what happens is, and I'm just not going to cover a lot of this, but I'm just going to quickly say, yeah, that's why you got to keep an update on all of your web property tools. And especially if you're using WordPress with those plugins, don't let them lapse. If there's an update, hit the button, update it immediately. Okay, because there's intruders that are going to use those unupdated pieces of plugin to be able to make their way into your website's files, okay? And then they can just tank your entire online business process, right? But again, less is more. Two, maybe three colors, okay? Don't have this flipping and that turning and that spinning and that climbing and flying. And don't do that. People are there for information. They're there to be entertained. Now, unless it's an expose and you're the flipper and flyer and spinner and you're showing them some of the amazing techniques and art and maybe some behavioral attributes of some function, because that's what you do as a developer, well, naturally you're going to want to showcase that stuff. But keep your design less is more approach. Design cures all? No, it does not. That's another myth. Design does not cure everything. Design is far more than colors, graphics, fonts. Listen, it's an experience. In this experience, the goal is to facilitate interactions and provide functionality for your visitors. Now, a great design can help solve difficult challenges, like perhaps maybe your users' journeys and brand experience, but design alone can't fix everything. Content concerns, low traffic, poor engagement, or low conversions require more than just a design update. So don't just go, well, I'm not converting sales, so it must be the design of my site. No, it could be the way that you're communicating. It could be what you're saying. Are you talking more about you and your product and less about the benefit for the visitor? Maybe there's a disconnect. So maybe instead of redesigning your entire website, maybe it's time to go in and retool, refine your integrated marketing communication strategy throughout your web property. Okay. And finally, site owners view their websites like users. And that's not even close. As owners and employees, you're jaded, man. You're biased. It's your website. You don't see it the way the visitors do. And that's why it's critically important to get out there and poll your visitors, to poll your readers, send out those surveys, talk to people. What are they seeing when they first land on the website? What's the first thing that grabs their attention and why? And are there aspects of your web property that literally make them want to just bail and not stick around? Polling, surveying, asking those questions. You don't see your website the way the customers do. So there's a little insight for you. Web design myths.
Strategist Radio.
Now, I'm going to talk about 10 smart ways to better know your target audience in a few minutes. But how do you price your products? How do you put the right price tag on your product or service? Glad you asked. Rissa Bavar, CEO and founder of Collude Inc., tells us how figuring out how to price your product on a cost per unit basis is fundamental to determining whether you can, in fact, turn a profit. Check it out.
The four main elements that anybody has to be aware of when they're determining price for their product or the cost per unit for any given consumer good is, first of all, the cost of the materials that go into the product. So you have to look and see, okay, what kind of materials am I using? Am I using aluminum parts? Am I using plastic molding? Am I using injection molding? All these different elements that go into the manufacturing process. And you have to cost each one of those out. So you might want a tool that is necessary to create one of the parts for your product that costs $50,000. So you have to amortize that among all the different products that you're going to be developing, or you have to somehow absorb it. The next thing is that you have to figure out how much your manufacturer is going to charge you. So the tooling is one element of that, but then there's also the assembly process and everything else. Then you have to put your product into packaging. So you have to determine what kind of packaging your product is going to have, how much that packaging is going to cost you. You have to have a graphic designer put things together. You have to have a printer print up the packaging if it's something that is going to be a box or a label. You have to get all those to the manufacturer. So you have to incorporate all that into your cost per unit. And then finally, you have to figure out how much it's going to cost for you to get the product shipped from your manufacturer to your distributors, to your retailers, wholesalers, wherever it happens to be going, or to your warehouse. So those are the four main issues that somebody has to be aware of.
About 6:14 right now. Happy Monday, March 21st to you as we broadcast out live over to over 120 countries around the globe. Love you very much. Thanks for being my friend. You can email me anytime by sending an email to support@tjmoreno.com. Questions, comments, ideas. Love to hear from you. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. support@tjmoreno.com. All right, so how do you get the most out of a live event? Scott Richardson, CEO of TicketMob, understands that with so much going on and leading up to these live events, it's easy to overlook many of the small details to help maximize the experience. Check it out.
In order to get the most out of a live event and to get repeat customers and to grow events, the keys are really simple. Number one, throw great events every single time. make sure that they're memorable, and that people leave talking about them and telling their friends about them and building word of mouth. Second thing is to network while you're there. People want to know their host. It's your party, so make sure you're front and center. Greet them when they come, say goodbye when they leave, be approachable, and talk to everyone. The third thing is branding. Make sure that you have signage there, you pass out cards or some other leave, you know, something for them to take home, and just have them really remember who threw the event. And lastly, get contact info. They're at your event. This is the time to capture it. You never have a better time when they're thinking of you. So get their email address, get phone numbers, whatever it is you need, but make sure you leave with every attendee giving you some sort of way to contact them. If you do those four things, you're going to get the most out of your event. You're going to have ways to reach people in the future, and you'll have word of mouth to get people coming back.
Strategist Radio.
/616, book of the month. In our Strata library at tjmoreno.com or strategistradio.com. All month, it's the decision book. You got to check this puppy out. 50 models for strategic thinking. A short, sharp guide to tackling life's biggest challenges, understanding ourselves, and making the right choices. Amazing models in here. I'm talking about like the Pareto principle. Are you familiar with that? The Eisenhower principle. The team principle, the Swiss cheese principle. Are you familiar with any of these? How about the super memo? How about a SWOT analysis? We talked a lot about that. Those and so many more found in this great read. Check it out. It's in the Strata Library on the Hub, the decision book, 50 models for strategic thinking at tjmoreno.com. Help yourself. So you send me your social media pings and emails, and I get voicemail messages, and thank you. And you tell me, or you ask me, you share some of your biggest frustrations in business. And, you know, I don't know everything. I'm learning every day just like you are. Maybe the only difference is I've been at it, you know, for what, 25 years, you know, went to college too. And then, so I took my, you know, the school of hard knocks, kind of the street smarts, and then ended up, you know, in my early 40s, going back to college and getting my undergraduate degree in international marketing, and then ultimately going to grad school and getting my MBA in entrepreneurship, finishing up my doctorate now. I hope to have that complete. I've got everything done. My residencies are finished. All my classwork, coursework's done. The only thing I've got left to do is complete my doc study, and I hope to have that done somewhere around September, October. So I'll keep you positioned in on that. Boy, I'll tell you, before I went to school, I used to say, what a waste of time. Not seriously. I mean, it's really helped change. It's really helped me become more well-rounded. And so you ask me these questions. And sometimes, you know, maybe you feel embarrassed because you're thinking, well, I should know this. If I've been in business 10 years, you know, why am I having trouble, you know, connecting with my target audience? You're not alone. That's a thing. As entrepreneurs, unless you are intimately familiar with the psychological and behavioral attributes of your target audience, and remember, your target audience is selected, is defined by you and your organization. You choose your audience. You got to make sure also, too, that you got to be able to accurately identify the demographics within your target audience. But a lot of organizations, that's really these demos and their full target audience or target market composite, which is, you know, demographic, psychographic, geographic, and behavioral attributes, they are ambiguous at best. So it's guessing. You're guessing how to best communicate with your target audience. I mean, if they speak one language and you speak another, you're not going to resonate with them. So you've got to better understand your target audience once you've defined your target audience. So here's some tips, some things that you can do to help you better know your target audience. Remember, this is the first day of the rest of your business life, right? First day of your life. So I hope you pick something up out of this. I hope it helps. Some of these things you may be completely aware of, or maybe you've done many of these, but then you've kind of set them aside. So maybe we'll get them back into play again for you. You got to challenge your assumptions. I mean, the first step is the most important. I mean, since it may even help you refine your target audience, you may go in and have to just create this whole new definition and reinvent who your target audience is. But don't assume anything. You don't need to do that anymore. There's a lot of data out there. Let's say you've decided your target market is maybe middle-aged women. Well, why is your target audience middle-aged women? You may have gone even further, assuming certain styles or even directions of messaging appeals to them. But don't take any of this for granted. Unless you have more than anecdotal evidence backing up your claim, then maybe it's time to ditch it, or maybe it's time to take a deeper dive into your assumptions. Next, you've got to learn from what other people, what other organizations have found. This is entry-level market research at its finest. Think about this. When I'm sitting down thinking, okay, what am I going to talk about in The Strategist? What am I going to write about in my books? What I'm doing is I'm going to companies like Entrepreneur and Inc. and Fast Company and The Wall Street Journal. I'm looking at the Harvard Business Review, Website Magazine, Pete Prestipino's Rag. It's amazing. And I'm seeing what they're talking about. Chances are they've done this deep research. And I'm looking at trend lines on social media. What's the consumers talking about? What is my target audience? What's important to them? I got to achieve a goal, solve a problem, satisfy a need, right? Well, if I don't know the problem, the need, or the goal, I'm in trouble. So read up on some case studies. And the great thing about being in college still for me is I have access to all the academic libraries and resources. So I can get into those case studies, examples, and even psychological analyses by marketers who have come before me. These sources can include industry reporters, general market researchers, and even in some case, sociologists. You know, I'm a social scientist. With a doctorate degree, I will become an official social scientist. So use the other pieces of data that are being provided from other groups and other individuals. Filter your data to ensure the research is relevant and make sure that it's as recent as possible. Okay, make sure it's fresh and timely. The next thing you want to do is you want to create a customer persona. What does that mean? Well, once you've collected enough objective data to start forming solid conclusions, you can start crafting your customer persona. Now, the persona is basically a fictional character who exhibits all the traits of an average member of your target audience that your audience is expected to have. When I first started doing radio, way back when, my Chuck McKay, my program director, basically had me go to a magazine and actually tear out a picture. I was doing album-oriented rock at the time, classic rock, and the main core listener of classic rock was male, 35 years old. And there was more to the demographic and psychographic and behavioral attributes for that particular music genre. But you get my point. I tear out a picture of this person and I put it in a frame. So every time I open the microphone to say something, I'm talking to that one person. I created a customer persona. And that was 30 years ago. The customer persona might also include hard factors like age, sex, education level, income level, as well as disposition factors like maybe sensitivity, temperament. What is our temperament? What is our level of curiosity? Next, this goes right back to the survey thing I talk about. You need to be familiar with quantitative and qualitative surveys. Conduct a large scale quantitative first. Those are the numbers. How many people give this a thumbs up or give this a thumbs down? How many people? So you find out the numbers. Right? And you could use SurveyMonkey for doing this, okay? Just use a basic survey, inexpensive, it's free, you can do like 10 questions using SurveyMonkey. So you get my point. See, what you're doing first is you're looking for the numbers. How many people, what level of education do you have? This might be a question you might want to ask your audience, right? And they might say, you might give, you know, three choices: high school, undergrad, or grad school. Okay. Well, you get a bunch of numbers and you find out the percentage of people that took the survey, which is called the population. You have a sample of the population that you feed this survey to, but not to go too deep into the metrics and really statistics. Quantitative is the numbers, and qualitative is when you ask them why to a question. How frequently do you eat bread? And the survey says, I eat bread every day. 80% say every day. And you say, well, why? What about this 20% over here? How come they're not eating bread every day? And the only way you're going to find that out in many cases is to do a qualitative survey, which is where you're asking questions and they have to answer with a statement. It's not about the numbers. It's like doing an interview, right? Okay. Next, you need to look to your competitors. Your competitors may have already done tons of market research, and they've also put it into action. And how are they doing with it? If they target the same audience you do, you want to observe and learn from the way they write and advertise to their potential customers. I know that sounds like a no-brainer. It's all there for you, and it's free. It takes time. Time is money, sure, but it's free. Look to other popular products and services. What do they reveal to you? Listen to social conversations. What's being said within your industry? What kind of questions are your competitors fielding in social media? And how are they responding? Who interacts? Is it the CEO or is it the social media manager? And how are they responding to these problems or these questions? Listen to the social conversations. People will tell you what they want. Remember, we're looking for to achieve a goal, solve a problem, satisfy a need of our target audience. If you listen, shut up and listen, and you look and you think and you marinate on it and you keep those records in writing or use Excel spreadsheets, you can start to see the trend. Next, you want to examine interactions with your brand. You can use social listening software again and tap into Google Analytics, which is cheap, if not free, to examine user behavior on your website. Evaluate how your target demographics are interacting with your brand. Do you get lots of blog comments or social shares? Use this data to fine-tune your approach. And then finally, flexibility and dynamic, okay? The only thing that's constant in life is change. If you are change-averse, change your thinking, because you will drive yourself batty. Because what worked yesterday for breakfast may be obsolete today for lunch. Give yourself room to grow. You'll never have a perfect understanding of your target audience. Now, you might come close, and that's your goal, is to understand them the best you can. Hey, husbands and wives don't understand each other, right? Boys and girls, brothers and sisters, parents and children. I mean, the list goes on. Come as close as you can, but give yourself some flexibility. Remember, collect your findings from these multiple sources, put them together, and do your analysis. Okay? God bless you. Thank you very much for hanging out with me this morning. Please go out, look for an opportunity to love somebody today. World's hurting out there. It's frightened. They need some love. Go be a good leader. Thanks for being my friend. Kelly, close it out.
Live from the Strategist Business Radio Studio, this has been the Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino. We'd love to hear from you. Thoughts, comments, ideas, victories, and even your business's silliest business spoofs. We invite you to contact us anytime. If you'd like to share your business best practice strategy on an upcoming edition of the show with our global audience, email Tony at support@tjmarino.com. Be sure to make your way to the Hub and help yourself to all the fresh, relevant, and timely business strategy materials, including the complete radio archive library, by visiting and bookmarking tjmarino.com. If you would like Tony to set aside the time to review your present business strategy, send your request in care of support at tjmarino.com. We'll see you again Monday through Friday, 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific, for our next raw and real intimate get-together on the Strategist Radio Live.